May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. So today's gospel finally brings us to the conclusion of Matthew's 2-chapter-long Sermon on the Mount. 4 Sundays it's taken us to get through it. And today's gospel really kind of hits us between the eyes, doesn't it? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I suppose we could almost expect something like that after the last few weeks. We've been listening to Jesus week in and week out, making demands, getting more and more difficult by the day. Each week, Jesus' demands have gone from more and more difficult to more and more impossible. Be perfect, he tells us, even as God is perfect. You could almost expect it. We move from the difficult to the unmanageable to the outright impossible. And it's almost like we're back to square one searching, what the heck does it mean to be perfect? And I suspect that some of us have an inkling of what that's about. I mean, most of us know someone who thinks that he or she's perfect, or at least perfect enough to comment on everyone else's imperfections. And if you know somebody like that, and if you're anything like me, you probably find them difficult to stomach, to say the least. So if that's what Jesus means by perfection, I say he can keep it. But maybe the problem is that when we think of someone or something as being perfect, we usually think that means that there's no room for improvement. We talk about a perfect circle. We can talk about the perfect equation. We say things like, it's been a perfect evening, or wasn't that dinner just perfect? All of which to say that whatever we're talking about, there's no way it could be improved. There's no way it could be better. What we forget, though, is that when something can't be improved, then there's no room for change. No need for growth, no urgency for development. For the culture we live in, perfection means completion. Something that is perfect must, of course, then be unchanging, static, complete. And you know, there's only one state that I can think of, at least, that's unchanging, static, and complete. And that state, at least on this side of the veil, is death. To be a human being means to be alive and therefore by necessity open to change. That's the way God made us. That's the way God made the world. That's what true perfection is all about, I think. Not about being unchanging, not about being complete, but about being able to grow and change. True perfection places no limits on perfection. Love is never perfect unless it continues to grow. I think it's probably important to note that the word translated as perfect is the Greek word teleos. And what that means is whole, complete, mature, grown, to be growing fully, completely into who you are called to be. And I think that that means perfection is, in fact, growing. The word perfect in English sounds static. You either are perfect or you're not perfect. But not in the Greek. In the Greek New Testament, it has a dynamic sense of something you are becoming. The word teleos isn't used much in the Gospels. It's used again in Luke's Gospel, the parable of the sower. You remember there that the sower sows the seed, and some fell on the path, and some fell on the rocks, and some on thorns, and some into good soil. The seeds that fell into the thorns, we read, are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way through life, they're choked by the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, so that the seeds do not fully teleos, do not fully mature, do not grow. I think that's a great image for what God wants of all of us. God longs for us to reach our full potential. God, in essence, wants us to be perfect, to become that wonderful person we were created to be, the one that God delights in. God longs for us to be fully who we were created to be, like the seed sown on good soil, living life abundantly. Be perfect. Those are words not from a harsh taskmaster. They are words from a loving God. A God who longs for us to reach out and grasp the fullness of life, to grasp that which God has prepared for us, and to continue to grow and grow and grow. God loves us so much that he wouldn't settle for less. To me, that's reminiscent of Robert Browning's words, "Ah, but a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's heaven for?" And I think this is what it means to be a community, becoming a household of God, individually and as a community, to be continually growing, changing, evolving into what God wants us to be. So when Jesus says, be perfect, he's telling us to be open to growing, open to new ways of being, open to new possibilities for learning, open to what's going forth in faith, to what life is presenting to us. That's the life God wants us to live. Venturing forth in faith, just as God's people have throughout the decades and centuries and millennia, a pilgrimage out of bondage into freedom. A journey that started long ago with a man named Abraham, a journey of God's people led by in Exodus by Moses out of bondage to a new Exodus which Christ leads us even now out of brokenness and death. Face it, life with God is journeying forth. Journeying into teleos, growth, perfection. My friends, on this day, the gospel calls us to be perfect, even as God is perfect. Don't forget that true perfection does not mean an end to your growth. True perfection does not mean an end to changing. Openness to change is a part of what perfecting is about. We shall never cease our explorations in life. Thank God, we will never fully arrive. For to arrive would mean to stop and be static. It's only by venturing forth in faith that we can discover ourselves as individuals and as a people of God. The true self that God wants each and every one of us to be. Such is the nature of perfection. Such is the nature of life. Amen.